Welcome to Watchmen Talk, your number one source for all things relating to HBO's TV series Watchmen, a very important part of the CTV podcast network, since HBO's Watchmen is the most talked about show. And even if it's not, we're going to pretend it's the most talked about show, because after the reveal, right? After the reveal they dropped last night.
I want to talk about his tweet first.
Oh my God.
There were these people in our Watchmen Talk mentions, and I saw one of them, they tweeted, like, have y'all seen this? And they tweeted, like, a picture of his hand in the Manhattan blue from the trailer. Mm-hmm. And they tweeted a picture of the guy's hand from, like, a press conference or something. They're like, look, it's the same hand. And this was, like, several weeks ago, maybe, like, a month or two ago at this point. And I was like, well, I mean, it's the same hand. But, you know, like, that could be anything. Maybe he was doing the hand modeling for the, you know, for like the TV, like the commercial or whatever. Like, I, you know, I'm not taking that fully serious. And it turned out these are correct.
And I mean, to be fair, we knew it was something. We just kept pointing. I think it was like three or four times we said, but Dr. Manhattan can't take human form. I think last week I was arguing pretty vehemently but they said Dr. Manhattan can't take human form. And that was on purpose to throw us off.
Mm-hmm. No, because Vanessa was the one who was like, there's got to be something going on with Manhattan. It's like
Recording. Yeah. What he said, he was like, well, that's absurd. We all know that Dr. Manhattan's on Mars. And like, I was like, that's a line, right? Like, it just felt like it, because it was the second or third time we had heard it in that specific episode. I have to go back and rewatch it. Because I remember being like, that sounds like a line that they've been fed. And it sounds like now, in retrospect, now that we've seen everything, it just feels like he had this paper cut identity that he had to clearly.
It actually makes sense because she's also trying to make sure he's not, like, I guess, like, triggered by any sort of anything to remember that he is Dr. Manhattan. I guess probably because, like, at that point it breaks, like, whatever. I'm going to say mesmerism, but I don't think it's the same mesmerism that's going on in the show. But, like, it breaks it's quite clear that the reason he was being Cal is because he was trying to live as a normal man. Mm-hmm. So once he's aware that he's Manhattan, he can no longer be normal. So that made sense. The way she was mm-hmm. like really emphasizing, well, it's Manhattan cannot be walking around in skin. He can't look like us. He's on Mars, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a DC Comics equivalent of this, like, in terms of, you know, where you have a hidden hero? Like, has there a Superman ever been in a plot line like this?
I mean, we have Martian Manhunter. I really like that someone had pointed out a parallel, Martian Manhunter, specifically because there are parallels. There are certain stories where John Jones chooses to be a black man when he comes to Earth and lives among us. So I think that parallels really nicely with this, because if this is the same case where Dr. Manhattan decided to live normally, he fell in love with a woman and decided to live normally among us as a human, and he chose to be a black man for a specific reason. I think that parallels really nicely with the Martian Manhunter.
If you're talking about the kind of living a different life and not remembering, there's another Alan Moore story for the man who has everything, where he basically Kal-El's put into a state where he doesn't remember his real life, and he's living this kind of perfect fake life with, you know, without all the problems of his real life, where, you know, he Krypton didn't blow up, but mm-hmm. you know, and he's got a family, and you know, eventually he he has to be cracked out of it to help save, you know, other people and to save himself, because he's kind of wasting away in this fantasy world. But that is another Alan Moore story, of course, you know, living that kind of perfect domestic life and forgetting about, you know, what's happening in the real world.
I don't mean to rush right after you, but the example that comes to mind specifically in DC Comics, I know Young Justice did this storyline as well, but I didn't finish that season, sorry. So I don't know how they did it, but there's Halo from the Outsiders team. Batman and the Outsiders was the book that, well, I'm going to say she, but basically, like when Halo, when the celestial being inhabits the body, I'm saying body, but it was like a dead body. It's not a, there was nothing left of Violet Harper, I think was her name. But she basically wakes up and there's sort of an innocence, but like it's really just, it really does remind me of Callus. I wonder if they were like almost playing off it in a way where Violet has to like kind of learn how to react in certain situations. And of course, being a celestial being in a human body, she now has light powers where she like shoots stuff with her light beams and stuff like that. And I mean, it was pretty cool, especially the way they actually showed it, like how it actually played out in the Outsiders book, where like you just meet her and she's like a nice kid and everything, and then you learn her like sinister backstory. And you're like, oh man, this is not even a human. And then, oh man, the human that used to be here was a horrible person. So that is what's specifically at DC, that's what I think about when I think about what, like, if there is a, if you're going to go off that person with amnesia because they're trying to forget who they were kind of thing.
So we have to talk about baby Angela.
Wait, let's talk about the, but first, let's talk about the beginning, like the very, the intro where they like intro like the whole like Dr. Manhattan like story, the bio thing, because I really want to note that, like, I know we don't talk about Before Watchmen, we eschew Watchmen, Before Watchmen, but I will say that Before Watchmen and Watchmen HBO both made John Osterman canonically Jewish, which I don't know if the original comic ever did ever like note that he was escaping his family, like left Nazi Germany, but the I think it's very important to know that the show made important to note that he was Jewish, and then later on made him, you know, made a note that he was a black man. And it's important to me because as a black woman married to a Jewish man, I'm just like immediately like, ah, because my husband who was Jewish, he like tapped me on the shoulder. He's like, wait, did I miss this? And I looked over and I was like, because he like quoted a tweet that he was reading about baby John, you know, escaping Nazi Germany with his father. And he was like, this, oh, I didn't know they made, and I was like, yeah, they made Superman Jewish. And then I was like talking and explaining him about how, you know, like Superman and like how he was created by Jewish co-creators and how he's basically an allegory for, you know, the Jewish immigrant in America and crypto. There's just a whole thing. And he and I had this whole conversation, and it's something that he finds fascinating because it's something that important to his heritage and his community. And so I thought that was really cool to like that this whole episode was just a lot of cool things for me. But as someone who is married to a Jewish man, a black woman married to a Jewish man, it just was really important and resonated with me.
Yeah, I'll look it up and see if it is. I am not sure if it is in the book. It would make sense, but I'll look it up and see if I can find, if I can find it. I'll put the clip in the, if it was in the original, in the for the blog. But I did note that on PDpedia, it did say he was circumcised, which I think is, I feel like he wasn't in the movie, but I don't remember. I was kind of averting my eyes.
I honestly don't know if that was a Zack Snyder choice, but circumcision is some, like that's a very, that's an interesting thing because I don't, I can't, I don't know the details about black men and circumcision versus Jewish men and circumcision, but it's not as common. So I, it's interesting that like I saw the PDP and I was like, oh, looking at the notes, because I was like very closely looking at each like line of details, like his birthday, his weight, his fucking height, like everything. I was like, what's important about this? So I, that one is something I noted. I was like, that's interesting because, yeah, anyway. And then we like land in Saigon with baby Angela trying to once again get the sister night VHS, which is because
Yeah,
honestly,
she's
she's
so
the only
very
black one
old.
on the cover.
So let me come in
Baby
with
Angela.
something really quick here. This late article today, which we'll link to on the blog, turned me on to the fact that in 1977, the same year as Sister Night came out, there was a movie called A-Bar, the First Black Superman. So, which I just literally just learned about today. I, what I've seen, the clips that I have seen aired, just it's pretty bad, but but it is it was a very I'm sorry. Let me start again. So the clips that I saw were a little bit cheesy, but the gist of it was still very Passover themed. Remember, I was talking about Abar being a Hebrew word that evokes Passover. There were a lot of Exodus themes in this Abar, the first Black Superman, which we'll post some artwork on the site, but that does appear to be where the last name Abar comes from, is this 1977 movie, which is interesting because that is also the year that Sister Night came out.
And
it
now, is Sister
also,
Night
yeah,
a
ties
real
into that.
movie?
No.
It ties into
Okay,
that
because I would love to.
blaxploitation era. It ties into that, like basically the superhero version or the vigilante version of the blaxploitation era that happened in the 70s with like Shaft and Foxy Brown. And like, I love that they have that, like, their own little, God, the world building in this show is so beautiful, man. Like, they have their own, the fact that they haven't even had that line in PDPedia where they said, like, after Vietnam became a 50%, their large population of Black people like went there to, basically find a whole new life outside of institutional racism in America, and it created a whole different like genre of movies of pop culture, which I find completely fascinating. And then it culminates in this little Black girl picking this VHS off the like little roller thing because this is the only thing probably that looked like her in the entire store.
Yeah,
Well,
and I
she says
specifically
that,
on
doesn't
that,
she?
yeah, later
She's.
in the June scene. Yeah, she says, and but
Yes.
I do want to talk about that when we get to June, but I will say that, like, that specific seeing another fictional hero and having that imprint in her mind and then later choosing to adopt that mantle, that is extremely Barry Allen. Literally, and Barry lucked out because it turns out, oh, the guy he chose his name after was a real person in another universe. But
You're
it's
right,
just,
though.
I
I know a
was
lot
like,
of people,
man.
you're right, Tony, though, because a lot of people are pointing out the Batman parallels. No one even picked out the Flash parallel. You're like the only person I think I've seen even point that out. I didn't even
Well,
realize. I was like, you're right, though, because like I remember that was the first like meeting of them, like the when they met and like that one issue, and he was like, they he's like, oh my God, it was just in the comics or whatever. I only read the like the history book version of it. I haven't read the actual issue soon,
it's
but.
also the parallel to Will, which you get in the kind of back and forth cut anyways, is that they each had their movie, right, about the cop that they wanted to emulate.
Yeah, and then when we get to the cop, I want to like, I really just want to focus for like 4 minutes on her facial expressions, but we'll get to that in a second, or in like whenever we get to there. So we have baby Angela coming out of the store. She gave the dollar. There's so much imagery packed into the scene. Just like you can tell that they built it and they filmed it in a way for you to very specifically look at what is being filmed. So we have the first note, the first time I seen it was burgers and borscht, which we see later on where June and Angela are eating. But I love that there's just like an American and Russian specific fusion restaurant
It's
in
from the
Vietnam.
comics.
I know, but I love that. I love that so much.
Burgers and borscht.
Quite a combo.
I know that the puppets
Sorry.
had no connection to Doom Patrol, but those puppets, I always saw them and I was like, oh, it's Doom Patrol when they had the Manhattan
Well,
puppet.
it's the puppet. There's actually a cover for there's a puppet Dr. Manhattan cover for Doomsday Clock, which I was like, that was coming right to mind. But also remember, this is all based around his line of, I'm just a puppet who can see his strings.
Yeah, I think that was very tied to that. And then we have Angela going to her parents with the VHS, and basically they're like, no, you cannot watch this because right on the cover it says motherfucking gun. Like, of course, 10-year-old Angela's not going to be able to watch it. So, mom, and then we have a really, really, really interesting scene, which I think I had mentioned last week on the podcast of what do our parents give us from their parents? And it was answered in this episode, which I think one of you guys pointed out was it would be answered this episode, and it was the trauma that little, do we know his name, right? We know her dad's name,
I almost want to say it was also Will, but that
I don't
doesn't
think it
say.
Was. No. Papa, her dad.
Marcus, sorry. I want
Marcus.
To
say. I think it is. Something like that.
Flipping back in my notes because I know I wrote it down when they said it.
I got it. It's Marcus. You're
Marcus.
Right.
Okay,
Marcus.
Yeah. Tony, thank you. Thank you, Wendy. Okay, so Marcus, AR, like, crosses out and tells, you know, his daughter, like, you know, people with, we need to be scared of people in masks. They're dangerous. And it's oversliced with memories of, right? At this point, we're oversliced with memories
yep.
of him seeing his dad in mask and just, and then we really, really see how the show visually shows generational trauma from dad to son to from father to daughter. Like, it was so beautifully done.
It, again, the whole scene evokes a common theme that we've all been through and that we've all experienced, or at least not experienced obviously, but seen. And you know, so we knew, like, you know what it reminded me of, that whole thing with the bomb and then everything else. It reminded me of the opening of an action movie when something bad's about to happen, and I was like, oh, this is an HBO action movie, so you could kind of track what was going on visually as far as that goes. But when the guy throws it, and you know, what I would love to see is Damon Lindelof is like, we're not going to get a second season. We're not going to get a second season. We'll see how the track is. You know what I want to see, Damon Lindelof? I would like to see you have Angela, like, build a new Watchmen, but have the next person be either Asian American or Asian. And, like, confront this, because you're using a lot of stuff from Asia. And we have Lady True, but we don't know if Lady True is a hero or a villain. And I would really love to see Angela
it's
get
Watchmen. This is my episode of the episode. It's Watchmen. I think this episode showed that. I mean, the intercutting of, you know, Angela and the Seventh Cavalry, and, you know, as that other guy is getting lynched. I mean, like, it's not that clear who is a good guy, who is a bad guy. But yeah, she's definitely.
You can
Lady Stu is definitely in Adrian camp there.
You could still stand behind, if there's anything that Angela has proven, and if there's anything that this series has proven, is that it's possible to create a character who is so morally, who is morally gray, who, you know, if this person, you encountered this person in the real world, you might look askance, or you might do a double take, but it's possible to create a character who's an anti-hero who people can really rally behind. So while I love Lady True a lot, if they did a second season, I really would like them to focus on Asian American representation, because all we've seen so far are Lady True's machinations and the presence of, you know, and basically not villainy, but making any sense at all?
I'm going to have to disagree a little bit, because I think that this isn't Asian American representation. This is specifically Vietnamese representation. So we have to stop being general and broad about this. This is a Vietnamese, a very specific Vietnamese character with a Vietnamese storyline. I think they're doing a very good job, in my opinion, of showing America, if they had won in Vietnam, what would have happened. And they're showing an unsympathetic look at America being colonizers in our modern day. Like, that's insane. Woven into our own imperialistic, racist, white supremacist. Like, it's just, like, it's all layered and built on. It's amazing. Lady True looks like a bad guy, but she's also the same kind of bad guy where you're like, I get it. You also understand her motives, but you also don't know if she's a bad guy. We don't know. We don't understand what's going on or whatnot, but I get bad vibes from her. But I also disagree with that, the fact that we're not getting enough Asian American representation, because we're specifically looking at a Vietnamese woman and her Vietnamese cloned mother. Those are two specific characters. So, like, Lady True and Bian are two characters that we are actually getting a lot of time with, that I think is very important. And they're both getting, I think we're getting kind of what, besides the domestic terrorists that we've seen, you know, in Vietnam, I guess you could call them just domestic terrorists or freedom fighters, depends on who you ask, which is more of what I was thinking at with the IRA versus the, you know, back in the Disney or now, I don't know. I really, that's why I didn't speak on the Ireland versus Britain thing, because I don't know about the IRA thing as much as I should, I guess. But that's what I was more getting the vibes from. It wasn't,
okay.
That was what I was getting. It was people trying to get their homeland back from an imperialistic country. Do I sympathize with Vietnam? No, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck I'm, I don't know. But what I am getting as the real world things is these people just want their country back. And they okay. see this country as, you know, like they, this big blue American man came in and completely took away. And here's what we're not even talking about. This episode has been framed completely around what Dr. Manhattan did, and we haven't even touched on what the comedian's influence has been on that country. And I'm sure, I don't even know if that's coming because we only have two episodes left, but I do want to say that I think the show is actually making a really good case for, obviously for season two, but it is also, I think, giving us a really good look at the effects of American imperialism and colonization of a country and the effects that has on two characters that we are now getting time with. So I disagree that we're not getting time with these Vietnamese American characters.
Remember that Lady Tru, the original Lady Tru that she's taking the name from, was a Vietnamese freedom fighter, but against China. So there's mm-hmm. definitely that they're trying to tell you she's a freedom fighter.
Yeah, I think that's the vibe I'm getting from her. I don't necessarily, I think she's creepy. And her kid's creepy, or not her kid, I guess. Her mom is creepy. I don't know. I totally get the why, but I find them very unsettling. But I also find them fascinating.
Okay. No. You're absolutely right. I'm listening and digesting this, and especially apologetically for, you know, just immediately painting things with a broader brush. You know, I misspoke when it came to that, but you pointed out, and I do need to think more about it. I would love to see this universe grow and expand and have more characters. And if she did stay around, you know, put her in a better, like a good guy fight role, or make her still a good guy, or emphasize that. I mean, but you're right, you know, and it does point out that it's hard to trust people. And that says something though, that it's hard to trust people who you don't really know their motives.
I also that I don't also know the right or wrong here. Like, I'm not Vietnamese American or Asian American. So like, I could also be wrong. So if anyone has, like, if any of our audience, like, has, who is Vietnamese or of, like, in that general area wants to comment on this, I don't personally know, but I do think that it's really cool that we are seeing kind of the aftermath and the, like, fallout of America, you know, adding Vietnam as a state. Like, I don't know if we've even talked, I think since the first episode, we ever really talked about that on the podcast as much, you know.
Yeah, when they talk about like Redford coming in and building a liberal country, and then in episode 5 where we learned that Veidt had like planned for this liberalism, I doubt Veidt's plan included releasing all of the other states. Mm. Or at least, you know, or dealing with the territories. There's always that big deal with Puerto Rico. Mm. And how like Puerto Rico, you know, the fight for Puerto Rican, you know, recognition and liberation. And there's also the deal with Mauna Kea and Hawaii. And, you know, I'm not qualified to speak to these issues, but definitely acknowledging America's imperialistic attitudes for a country that was founded to defend itself from an imperialistic country. Like, can we talk about the hypocrisy there? Because America made its whole business on, you know, defending, you know, it's like, we're going to break away and we're going to have a freedom and we're going to have revolution. And then everyone is, and it's like, hey, England, you know, can you tell us how you achieved all of this? You know what I mean?
Sorry, before we move on 5 seconds, because I am, as well as Black, I am Puerto Rican. My mother's from Puerto Rico, the motherland. I will say that the island is pretty much 50-50 split, more sort leaning against becoming a state. Then at 4, I will say that a lot of millennial Puerto Ricans my age, I can actually ask Anna, who is like, I can shout her out here. She's one of like, who's been like really in Puerto Rico, like fucking hitting the ground running, protesting the corrupt government there. I will say that a lot of Puerto Ricans my age in Puerto Rico do not want to become a state. They would rather have their independence. And I think that a lot lately, the country's sentiment has leaned that way. Even a lot of my own family members would rather have Puerto Rico's independence versus becoming a state. So I just wanted to throw that in as someone who is Puerto Rican. Anyway, we can move on because I know we're like stuck on the beginning of this episode.
Right. So we move forward and we see Angela wake back up.
She falls out of bed after the explosion in her memory. And she's in the vivarium?
Yes.
I think so, but it's also, I'm not sure if it's specifically that part or not. Because I know, like, later they show her walking, I feel, almost through it. Specifically, like, where all the plants and everything are. So, I don't know.
Vivarium adjacent, how's that?
Yeah. Like, same complex, likely, but.
And I loved Chu in this scene. She's, like, totally, you know, all of her, you know, false gravitas is off. And she's being more like, more like Lori in the scene, the kind of bluntness.
Trying to explain that Angela's getting a special treatment to remove her grandfather's memories. And that I think comes up in something really important later in the episode, where she decides that she doesn't want all of them removed, but Lady Tru continues to try and pull them out. And then she gives her the whole explanation. She says, you know, we're giving you this, and your memories are going to come back, and they're going to fade in and out. And then she gives her that little, and the fact that you can implant thoughts into somebody else's head, it really ties back to the mesmerism thing. So she's like, here's your thing. And can you imagine getting a commercial beamed directly into your head?
It reminded me of when Apple put Bono's new or U2's new album on my iPod or my iPhone without my permission. I was so triggered. I was like, what the fuck is this? Sorry, I was so mad. I was like, that was so disturbing.
I kind of liked it, but also, like, I mean, I listened to it and I was like, okay, I like free stuff, but yeah, I'll just put a link or something.
You could have given people an option. And there's actually a line in, because I was watching HBO's His Dark Materials right before we recorded the podcast, and there was a line that Lin-Manuel Miranda said where he said, if you take away a person, it's all about control. If you take away a person's soul, you can do anything you want with them. And so the more control you have, the more likely it is you can take away their soul. So Lady Tru is, but you know, that, and since we're going back to the whole idea of, you know, gray areas, is there a way to use that power for good?
So what I thought was interesting was that her idea was to let people better remember things, and what was actually, you know, to kind of help with advances in moving science forward. But what it actually did was cause them to get stuck in their own guilt. And she sees that as like a failure to embrace the utopian future, which brings me back, and I have to do my two parallels here, it brings me back to Veidt, whose plan post-Squid was to bring a utopian future. It also brings me back to the fact that Veidt had two perfumes. The first perfume before the Squid was called Nostalgia. The perfume after the Squid was called Millennium. And Lady Tru has two major projects, the first being Nostalgia and the second being Millennium Clock, but still Millennium. So it is that kind of do we think, I'll throw this out here right now, do we think that when she talks about her father being there soon, that it could be Veidt?
It's most likely yes, but I don't like this. Yes. I'm just going to say I don't like it because it's very, like, every important person is a Skywalker thing in Star Wars, which I also fucking dislike. It feels like now everyone's connected to someone in the past, which has been great so far, but now I feel it's starting to become overkill. Not every character that we meet has to be connected to, like, biologically to someone in the past.
They did state about the theme was about legacy, right?
Right, but I just don't know if this needs to be that. Like, we already are getting that. We already have that with Lori. We have that with Angela. We are really threading this really well. And with Adrian's storyline being so out there, it feels so weird to just, it feels weird to just kind of remember, like, that's my dad. Like, I mean, I know that's where they're going. And I honestly do have faith that Damon will tie it in and make it actually, like, very compelling. But right now I'm getting very annoyed. Like, Star Wars-y's like, why can't Rey just be a normal person for vibe? You know, like, just let her be. Like, let her just be a person who's brilliant and like not having the fucking midichlorians or whatever. Like, I don't know.
She could.
That may still happen, but yeah.
I know. That's why I'm annoyed. I'm honestly like, I don't even know. I don't even want to talk about Star Wars. I'm sorry. The third movie, I'm not even.
You could have her be a spiritual successor, or at least consider him her father, because I could, you know, and that would be a very interesting, you know, dissection of how much she of how much influence larger powers can have on generational trauma. Because hear me out. If her mother was in Vietnam and at one of those, you know, things like My Lai or any of that, and suddenly, and you know, and she came, you know, she was a brilliant kid, she came to the States, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's Vite, who's like this golden god figure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So she's trying to bring, you know, her mother back through her clone. And then, but she can't escape the one thing that has affected her, which is, you know, you want to be powerful. Who are you going to emulate? If you're really smart and you're really powerful, you're going to emulate Vite. So if she sees him as a metaphorical, like, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm team Vite, you know, is gay. Well, I team Vite is gay, but that doesn't necessarily stop him from doing something like that. But it would be.
No, I think they were clear he was bisexual. He had, you know, he was or pan. I'm gonna go with
pansexual. So he's pansexual. So it's very possible that she could be related to him biologically, but it would be a very interesting distinction to have her take a legacy that someone else created and own it for herself. And be like, this is something that you created. The best example, because I always bring up Disney, the best example is Disney. Disney's legacy, you know, you're very aware that you're a custodian of a legacy, and you're very aware that you're, you know, taking care of one person's vision. But the direction that that vision goes depends on who they want to take it in. I mean, Walt did, and we have to own it, Walt did Song of the South, but then, you know, decades later, people made more money with Black Panther, and it was, you know, it did something good for the community. It did something good for a community. It told a really amazing story, but turning that into an entirely new direction, admittedly motivated by money, is still something worth.
I don't think she's motivated by money. I think money is a side effect.
Well, no, money in the real world, but like, I think she's motivated by taking. Yeah. I think she's motivated.
She's motivated by a higher vision, which is what.
Yeah.
So I think we have to be very clear, though, is that she did say her father was showing up. I will say, though, that the Wikipedia article, the article in the gossip column, did say she was obsessed with Dr. Manhattan, which may be because she knows about this. And let's come back to, you know, I had like four things that are still unresolved. And one of those things are, what is on the 2 hours of tape that we didn't get to see, which I'm willing to bet that True has seen? and that Will has seen, because they know that they're up against Keen. So what was the rest of the plan? You know, what is Vite trying? What was the utopia that he was trying to do? What is True's place in it? If she has a place in it, is Adrian her father? Is Dr. Manhattan her father? Is that the whole point where she was trying to get it out of Angela that Dr. Manhattan was her father? Because I do have to say, I don't remember Vite being in Vietnam.
No,
he was not.
I do remember, not. Yeah. Obviously,
that's why, that's another nail. I just also think that's another. Not.
Yeah, no, I think she's taking, you know, on his spiritual legacy. Just because you say your father's going to show up, I mean, father is a very broad term. So, I mean, and she did revere him as like an elder, so she could just see him as, you know, somebody who she tried to emulate and then tried to top. That makes more
sense. Except the other part's really literal. I think we're either going to, she's either the daughter of Manhattan or Vite, and I think we'll see that.
Just be the daughter of a woman who was marched through Vietnam, and her legacy is what she gave her daughter. Like, not every legacy
has
to be like.
I have that.
No, but I don't think you guys do. I think honestly, like, you guys, I feel like, I'm just, I'm
No, no,
honestly getting like this vibe where it's like everyone has to be important, and it really fundamentally makes everyone else feel less important. If it makes Wade feel less important, it makes if your parent isn't important, then
I,
you're not important. That's what it's I'm getting the vibe
it,
of.
you
I
know,
don't like that.
I'm not
And
insisting
that's
on
probably where their
that.
show's gonna go, and I don't that's where I'm like
Yeah.
preparing myself
Now,
for, and I don't like it.
I'm not advocating for a Skywalker-esque connection because we're not going to talk about Star Wars, but I really enjoyed Last Jedi, and I'm just going to put that out there. I don't want to
I did
discuss
too.
it. Yes, because
I
I
love that
really,
movie. It's
because as
visually
somebody who,
beautiful.
yes, as some and as somebody who doesn't really have a strong connection to a family, and as somebody who doesn't really have a solid connection to that, those kind of characters really speak to me. It doesn't mean that you can't take my advocation, and then we do have to. We could go. This episode had so many great things. I'm going to advocate for her seeing herself as a spiritual successor to Vight, and kind of picking him as her Luke Skywalker of a sort, and being and you know just kind of picking him up and rolling with the ball and actually building that liberal utopia that he considered doing. I don't think Veidt's discussion of a liberal utopia or any sort of utopia would include anything decent, but I think that Lady True, with her history, and I say this as a person who was like sitting there a few minutes earlier going, oh, this she's probably a villain, and, but at the same time, as Wendy pointed out, the show is not black and white. And so it's,
No,
yeah.
all I'm saying is there's the line where she says, "Is it wrong to want my parents with me when I do?" And Angela says, "Your dad's here too," and she says, "He will be." So someone who's not here but is showing up, which could very easily be Manhattan,
It could
because
also be
he's
the
revealed. It
comedian.
could,
We also know that she
it could
clones
be,
people.
yeah, it could be the comedian brought back. But yeah, so somebody's, it's somebody. It could just be a random guy, but I don't know if there would have been that kind of fanfare for that. And he wasn't mentioned in PDPD at all. There's no, they don't, nobody knows who her father is. So
It's
yeah,
okay.
it
That's all
actually,
I'm talking about.
the her mother, Beyond, actually specifically says that she has no father. So for a while, I was thinking that Lady True was Beyond's clone, which is makes no sense because there's no technology back then to do that. But anyway, so we are moving on, I think, right?
Wait, there was
Oh, moving
technology
back
back then to do
to.
that because that's what Veidt was doing. That's how we got Bubastis was through the cloning experiments.
I was talking about before Beyond. We don't know what year Beyond died. I'm talking about like if Beyond had a clone of herself and then raised Lady True as who she is. I don't know if the time lines up. That's why I was just like, maybe Lady True is a clone of herself, of her mother. Like they just keep raising clones of themselves. That was my original wild theory.
That's possible.
Anyway.
We'll see. We'll find out.
Anyway, so she wakes up and then there's a whole conversation, the commercials in her head. I think we see Cal trying to get access.
Yeah.
Quote
And that
unquote,
was great.
Cal trying to
So
get access.
we've been talking all this time about how he doesn't have a lot of emotion, right? And then he was very passionate when he was trying to get through to Angela. And now he's very passionate when he's trying to get to Angela. He isn't successful. They won't let him in. Possibly because Angela's not ready yet. But it is very interesting to see him try to come in and how Red Scare and Pirate Jenny have turned on Angela.
I don't know if
Well,
they
I mean, they're
turned
doing
on
their
her. They're just
job.
doing their jobs. Yeah, they're just cops. I mean, like cops do what cops do. They just, that's it. Once you get outside the blue shield, what is it called? The blue wall or the blue bubble or blue shield or whatever the fuck they call themselves, you're out. Like Angela's out.
Yep, and they mentioned that too. I mean,
I do. I mean, this is relevant to the eventual reveal, but I do think at least this is, we could take this almost as confirmation that Lady True actually does not know who Manhattan is, because if she knew, why would she not just let him in and then have him
Yeah,
under her control?
absolutely. I think they know that Angela knows who he is, but
No, I think she knows. She just knows that Angela's not ready. I feel
no,
like they're trying
Angela
to get
knew
Angela ready.
Angela
No,
about
Angela
what?
knows that Cal is Dr. Manhattan. Lady True knows that Cal is Dr. Manhattan. Probably the Seventh Cavalry knows that
No, well, they
Cal
definitely know, yeah.
is Dr.
That's pretty
Manhattan.
obvious.
So I think obviously I think Will and Lady True know that Cal is Dr. Manhattan. I think they're trying to get her to a point where 'cause they need her, I think, to make it work. I'm not entirely sure why, but they need her to be ready.
I guess that's the confusing part, because I don't know what they need her to be ready for.
Or at least I would have him in that room for when she's ready and not.
It feels weird that they wouldn't. That's why I got. I guess I would agree. I don't know.
Would she have brought him out?
Maybe they suspect, but I don't think they would know.
Right. I think they needed her to bring him out. And she needed to bring him out by thinking that he was in danger.
Yeah, that's probably more likely, I think. Yeah.
But that's what they had to prep her for. Because I think if he just walked in, she just tried to protect him and keep him human. She had to make the choice, right? She has to give up Cal to save Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we see Lori in the car. Okay, am I crazy? Or did we see anywhere outside of PDpedia that Angela was actually speaking out loud and record? Okay, because I was like, was there a deleted scene? Because this is my biggest thing. I'm like, not everyone that watches the show reads PDpedia. I've always been adamant about this. So the show's been very good about this so far. But that was the first time I've ever seen them just kind of assume, because we had not had any indication that Angela in show was speaking during her episodes. I guess you could assume it, but they had no, they didn't even say it. It was just the next scene was just her listening to Angela talking on the record or on the recording device.
It makes me wonder if the PDpedia is partially stuff they just couldn't, they had to cut or something like that.
Yeah, that's most likely. Oh yeah, for sure. But I can't assume that everyone reads it. So I'm just I feel like people are going to end up confused, you know?
It is a flaw. I'll agree on that.
Yeah.
A little storytelling hiccup.
Come on, guys. Just even a little line oh yeah, I have to listen to this recording because Angela was talking out loud. It's just a little, because the shows have been so seamless so far, that was my one thing where I was like, what? That didn't make
the
any
whole
sense
scene,
to me.
Where she's talking to Petey and telling, oh yeah,
nothing Lori, yeah, nothing Lori, sorry, nothing Lori did this episode made any sense. Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Wait, before we get too far into it, can we point out there's another appearance of someone riding on a white horse?
Oh yeah. Who was it?
It was really creepy. The wife. There was the wife.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, yeah. No, but yeah. What were you saying, Tony? Yeah, she was talking to...
She was talking to Petey and telling him... he was basically just retelling everything from PDpedia. How you told me to go to his house to check on him. And I was that is not a natural line of dialogue.
But I appreciate it more than just assuming that people read it, because there are going to be people who don't read it. You look at the numbers on the traffic stats versus the people amount of people who watch the actual show, it's not comparable. Yeah. There are people who don't even know that thing exists. That's the reality of it. So you have to, as a I'm sorry, as someone who has run many shows, I felt that one thing was super irritating. But anyway, can we talk about how Wade took out how many 5-7 K-Menders, on some goat shit, fucking took him out. And then one of the masks was missing, right? So we have to assume that he's going to be infiltrating 7K and he'll probably be helping Lori out soon, right?
I didn't think about that.
Right? He's going to be infiltrating. Yeah, he has to be. And he's going
to
eventually... Yeah.
Oh.
That's so great.
I would think he's going to be meeting up. I would think he's going to help Lori, but he could also be at Angela's house. Fuck, he could be anywhere.
Oh, man.
He's definitely infiltrating. We know that, right? We all agree on this?
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yes.
Because that's what...
He pretty clearly picked a side right there, and I was like, yeah.
I know. I was really happy when I saw all those dead fucking 7K. I was like, thank you. That's my baby, and I'm proud.
He's not 7th Cavalry. He watched the whole tape, and he... thought it through. So here's the other thing, he might have, I'm trying to think, if the tape told him what was up with Dr. Manhattan, did him turning Angela in have to do with that rather than just the fact that we all assumed that the reason why he did it I assumed it was because they said threatened to kill her, but I think that, or that, he's had his world blown, and he has had his world blown apart. But there was another 2 hours to that film where he learned a whole bunch more stuff we don't know about yet.
Now, you might be right. Maybe he did reveal more stuff about Manhattan, and he was actually trying to text Angela and Cal. I don't know. Now I'm like,
It's what's on the tape, how to do the combo thing from how to, because the obviously, guys, we're jumping all over the map here, so listeners, I do apologize, but it, you know, the
well,
king
that's
comes in.
the Manhattan way, right?
Yes.
Dramatic.
Time is all around us.
Time is all around us. So, but when Keane is like, we're going to become him, I'm going, I really wonder if what Vite was doing is if the other 2 hours like include somehow like actually mashing dimensions together, or however it is that they're going to try and make him into Manhattan. Because I'm sitting here and I'm going, you're going
No.
to become him, and we can't necessarily repeat the experiment. Like, how are you
No, I think
going?
they're going to use his
I don't
body.
think no. I yeah. Well,
They're using his physical body to
that's not
change.
Adrian's plan. All right, let's be honest. Adrian, first of all, Adrian's plan was Adrian got rid of Dr. Manhattan and wanted to get rid of him entirely because it was too powerful, you know, and it was causing
Not
problems.
controllable.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it was not. I mean, I think he had respect for John, but I don't think that he had. I don't think he would ever be behind wanting to make more Dr. Manhattans. No, you know,
No,
hey,
God,
he spent
no.
this episode farting, so who knows? You know, he's completely
Yeah. Oh my
cool at
God.
this point.
Let's just talk about that, or let's talk about not
Well,
talking
yeah,
about
when we
it.
talk about that, yeah, I have so many things to say about that. Okay, no, but yeah, I think Carol, I think I feel like I feel your energy and I feel where you're coming from. But I don't think that Vite ever wanted more Manhattans. I think he fundamentally wanted to save the world, and he ended up creating a very fundamentally worse problem. Because this is what happens when white guys are like, yeah, actually, maybe just most men. I don't know. But there's like, I can do one thing to solve a single issue and then don't think about the fallout of socio-economical, like everything that comes from just solving one issue. There are multitudes of issues. So like, I don't think he ever anticipated all of this. And so maybe that their resolution to this is the mind control via HGTVs placed throughout homes. I think it's mind
Another
control.
PDpedia note that they're gonna have to
Yes.
explain.
Yeah, right. Okay, so then we have Lori going to I'm sorry, she tells Petey not to call in the 7K massacre at Wade's house. Then she goes in to confront Judd's widow. I cannot remember her name. Someone please help me out.
Jane. Yes.
Jane Crawford to confront her by herself. And
That
then
doesn't
she,
make any sense. Oh
oh my
my
God.
God.
Oh my God, it was the classic, like, I explain all this to you. And then the villain's like, yeah, you're right. And then she, guys, can we please, why does she sit there for 12,000 years pressing these buttons? And Lori's like, what are you doing? Oh God, oh no. And then not doing anything. I'm so
Maybe she was
upset.
curious, and I assume she must have been curious as to like, well, let's see where this leads.
I was literally sitting there like, what? This woman has been so brilliant and smart this entire time, and then she just was like, what are you doing? And I was like, what is she high? Is she hungover? What was going on? And her reflexes were so slow, and she's just like, well, fuck it, and then just disappeared. And I was like, how, there's no way she got outsmarted by Joan Crawford.
Yeah, and like the whole thing was
It's Joan Crawford.
the whole thing
Oh,
was
Jane
weird though,
Crawford, I'm
because
sorry.
Jane, no, it's funnier to
Oh, Joan
misheard.
Crawford makes it funnier.
But
You got Joan
I thought,
Crawford and Duty.
oh, okay. But I was wondering, like, because I almost wonder if this is like a plan. I mean, it didn't feel like it, but once she literally figured out the entire evil plot, so w just going into that situation, she had to have some kind of contingency where,
Yeah.
as you, as just as a superhero, like, I'm not thinking
Okay, so theory time. Does she? So first of all, I've seen this on many different sites argued in different ways. What do we think? Does she know Cal is Manhattan? Because she was awfully flirty with him.
No, I don't
Yes.
think she does. I don't think she does. I really don't think she does. I think she just was like, I think she just had an natural, like, attractive, like, I think she has sus things, like, about him, but I think she just really was like, that's a fuckable man. But, like, I think underneath it all, which he is, to be fair, I just think that she just was like, I called this out in a few podcasts. I was like, she's very weird with Cal. She's very, very familiar with him. Like, she almost wants, she has very big, I want to fuck your husband energy. Like, and I support that. Like, you know, Lori, get your juice. Like, get it, girl. And so I was very into it. So then when it was real, he was talking about, I was like, of course, she just was naturally attracted to him because that's just what she's into. And then I was like, their whole history started so weirdly. Anyway, but yeah, I don't know if I personally don't think that she knew. I don't think she knows because I and I hope that she doesn't because I really want that reveal. I really want to see her face and the reveal on screen when she finds out that Angela, the woman that she's in love with secretly, is married to her. You know, I'm sorry. That was just my Angela shipping coming jumping out.
Oh
But yeah,
man,
I really want to see that screen.
it's OT3 at this point.
I'm OT3. And they're gonna break my heart. You guys know they're gonna break my heart.
Yeah, no, I think that it's a, I read a couple of different takes where they're talking about each of the conversations they had and saying, now let's imagine that Lori knows this plays just as good, even better. I don't know yet.
Yeah, and I honestly do want to. I really want to see the conversation that Tony, or not Tony, I'm sorry, but that Tony pointed out that Cal and Lori had off camera where she was questioning him about the call that Angela got. Like, I want to see that. Allegedly, you're right, but like, okay, you're on team. She knows, but I'm on team. She didn't know, so I want to see it anyway. Oh God. Anyway.
I want to see it just to see it now, like, even if she doesn't.
Oh my God, what are you on team like, oh, they had a secret conversation and they secretly banged in the closet? Or is that just
Oh
me?
no,
Oh, okay, this
not
is
that
me.
far.
All right, no, this is me.
Moving on.
I'm just sitting here
It's a
like,
mature show, y'all.
So let's go to Beyond's cards, right? Beyond's Rorschach tests, and what was revealed about who she is. I mean, I think we've already talked about that a little bit, and about how she feels about it, and the fact that she knows she's getting, or she thinks she's getting someone's memory, but you know, she's not entirely sure.
I'm gonna go ahead and say she's getting someone else's memories because
Oh, we are for sure. Yeah.
we just didn't know it wasn't her. It is her getting her own memories back. God.
She, like genetics. I mean, genetics can do a lot, but she's a completely different person growing up in a completely different world. She, no amount of memories can are
Create the
gonna.
same person. Lady
Yeah,
Shu is
isn't it
demented.
weird?
I'm sorry, but that's just bonkers. That's a bonker. You were literally. I don't know what the biological term for terraforming a person is, but you were literally like terraforming a person just to like be your mo That's insane. This little girl is like creepy as shit because of you.
You know what's interesting that I just put together is that Lady True claimed that nostalgia was unsuccessful because people were stuck on painful things. She's stuck on her mother.
Oh, she's only
You're
giving
right.
thoughts to her child too, because it's just the suffering, and we haven't heard anything
Yeah, you're
after.
right.
So she's committing that same sense of human beings only stick on, and it's true. So, I mean, psychologically and mentally,
Yeah.
it's really we are a species that is very we when we're positive. I get to say this because I'm a bipolar person. When we're up, we are up. And when we're down, we are down. We are a very bipolar species.
But it's easy to take the happy stuff. You don't spend all this time questioning the happy stuff. But you're going to sit though in those negative memories and relive, what if I'd done this? What if I'd done that? You also are stuck with guilt. And the same thing that Veidt is doing to himself right now is you want to put yourself through, crap. You know, it's like you want to suffer. You want to feel,
If you have guilt, happy people who don't have guilt do not do this.
But
I
this,
will
it
dare
doesn't
almost
mean you're
guarantee.
guilty.
No, but there are things, and I will
Keep
say
going,
there are
guys.
a
I gotta
lot of
go.
people. I will say that there are a lot of people who will take these pills because they will want to relive painful memories. But there are a lot of people who, when I the first thing I thought of, if I want to relive a painful memory over and over and over again, it's because I want to fix it because I have
Yes.
regret and I have guilt,
Yeah.
and that is and there and. And that's like the biggest reason why. And because yeah. people want to fix something in their path, and
she's
people don't
psychopath.
Really live happy memories.
A sociopath.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
feelings. I don't feel like Lady Chu has those feelings.
No. I don't.
She doesn't understand that other people do. I think that's her problem. She doesn't understand why they're going to the negative memories.
Yeah,
she can't relate to that. Like, you know, you go to a negative memory when you're like, why, how could I have saved this person? Let's do it over and over and over again, you know, or how, like, I don't understand because you can't fathom it. But she's like, whatever, same molecules in a living person as a dead one, you know.
Which is interesting, which I find interesting because it's so different from her marketing, which I find a huge thing as a marketing person myself, a big divide between the founder and the marketing of that company, the founder of that company and the marketing of that company, because the founder of the company is like, I made these pills so people could blah, 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 blah. The marketing says it's for people who with dementia, Alzheimer's, they pivoted to some medical thing. So it's interesting that she created it for a single purpose, but it was actually marketed and distributed for a whole different purpose because they knew, because people who were selling this are like, that's weird. Let's actually make money off of this. And like, and then it became an actual problem on the street. So like, I think that like she's obviously being reined in by her own board of directors / marketing / like, so I think that it's interesting to see her. I don't think that she's talking about everyone in that speech. I think she's talking about herself more so than anything.
So she does have a degree of self-awareness.
I would say she might, but I don't think she's talking about, I think she's talking about it from in a perspective of other people. Even if it's not in a frame of herself, but I do think she's talking about herself.
Self-awareness and, you know, kind of that understanding of social, like, you know, her mind works different. Let's just leave it at that. She doesn't necessarily process emotions in the same way. She doesn't understand the guilt, which maybe that's missing in her. Maybe she misses guilt. I don't know. I'm sure that will be revealed. But wait, we are still now going into an Angela flashback.
Yes, we get to.
Oh wait, hold on. Before we get to that, there was one of the announcements for the Millennium Clock mentioned that their metal implants need to be removed in order in the preparation for it.
I noticed that.
And I was like, what are they about to do?
Is all of this pageantry? So
I thought about that, but I was like, also, like, is it radio? Is it magnetic? Is the technology magnetic? Like, what is it pulling stuff out of them? Like, holy shit. Like, are there implants in people?
We don't know. So remember, Veidt did a bunch of things that looked like he was doing one thing and really he was killing his scientists. Yeah. So, that's what my first instinct was. Oh, if you're in the green, are you really going into a suicide room now? Or a murder room now or whatever. There was a lot of that play up, like they were trying to get you to feel that way. But it feels to me like the countdown of Millennium Clock was to when Angela went and released Dr. Manhattan.
Yeah.
Yes.
So was that what we were waiting for? Was that the thing that they talked was going to happen in a few days?
It's important to note that when the 7th Cavalry is doing their boxes and stuff, if you pause the frames, they have the Lady Tru elephant on them.
Oh my.
So all the boxes, like if you go through and Angela's unpacking stuff, if you go through and if I dreamed this, I'm sorry. But if you go through and you look at it, they have the elephant on them.
Tru is Veidt, and Veidt owned like everything.
Pyramid, yeah.
So all of the old pyramid companies, including the company that Cal used to work for, Pyramid Construction, were all owned by Veidt. I mean, the news companies are owned by Veidt, and everything was owned by Veidt, and she got all of that. So it is possible that literally just everything is owned by Tur. It is also possible that they're somehow in league,
I can't believe they're on the same side. I can't imagine Will would knowingly be on the same side as the 7K. Do I believe that Lady Tru is a pragmatic person who values one thing over anything and will use both sides? Yes, I do think that. Will, no. I think she could possibly be using Will if she's pushing 7K in a certain direction. I could see that. I definitely could see that.
So the flashback
goes Baby back, Angela.
Baby Angela, to back to when she was in the orphanage, and she's being put to work making Dr. Manhattan tchotchkes.
All the Dr. Manhattan imagery that this little beautiful girl has grown up with in her, like, I can't imagine kind growing up with a, well, it actually parallels his relationship, how he started his relationship with Lori, like, kind of creepy there too. And by creepy, I mean very creepy. So actually, I think that maybe Damon's making, I think everything that the show has done so far has made it very purposeful. So yes, the presence, the initial presence and influence of Dr. Manhattan in Lori or Angela's life from a very young age, paralleling his influence in Lori's life at a very young age, I think that's probably purposeful. And you pointed it out, so thank you. I didn't notice that, but thank you for making my favorite character even more creepy. Anyway, so then
the title of the show, before we get, there's a lot of Dr. Manhattan imagery in Vietnam. Just to bring it back, the title of the show comes from a panel in the comic where Dr. Manhattan has pretty much ended the war. And it says, the Viet Cong are expected to surrender within the week. Many have given themselves up already. Often they ask to surrender to me personally, their terror of me balanced by an almost religious awe. And that is the line that is the title of the episode, so we all should have known this episode was going to be about Dr. Manhattan, but I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, I knew that, So then she gets called out, little baby Angela, who is played by Faith Hartman, who is the same girl that who acted as Starla Dudley in Shazam, who I'm a huge fan of. We love her. She's adorable. Everyone should see Shazam. It's great. And then she gets called out by the Saigon police to identify the domestic terrorist that killed her parents, who they have him in the back of the trunk with a hood, with a bag over his head, which is very reminiscent. And we see that spliced with her grandfather's memories of him having his own hood on his head. And we have this really fucking badass, I don't know, Saigon police officer. I know she's not badass in the sense, like, she's kind of, but like in Angela's specific, like, this is clearly a woman. Clearly a woman that she modeled herself after. She literally, in her little tiny baby voice, said, "Can I listen?" When she confirms that this guy was the murderer, you know, was the one of the terrorists, and like she wanted to hear. She wanted to hear. She knew it was going to happen, right? We all,
We all knew. It showed how hardened she'd become.
Like that little baby, that sweet, those sweet cheeks. I just want to like protect her and hug her. And her voice, like, it was so haunting. And it just made me so sad for her, because this little girl has gone through so much in such a short time. And we'll point that out later on in the episode. Like, she's in a place where she was never meant to be in a place where no parents, nothing, no one. So like, it's just even more devastating. And like the cop hands her like badge, and was just hands her the badge, and it's like, you know, find me, you know, when you're older.
Yeah, and that was a very Commissioner Gordon moment to me.
Yes.
Yes.
Trying to be there for, like, not really knowing how, but trying to be there for the little Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, little Bruce Wayne. There was so many Batman parallels, but guys, a little bit of little teeny tiny Jason Todd parallels too, guys. It was a little little bit, because like every child that Batman has raised has had a little bit of him in him. So I do see a little bit of Dick Grayson. I do see a little bit of Jason Todd there too. Like, how many of these little boys and little girls that Batman has raised has he raised because of, he saw himself as him, you know, like they lost their parents and he could work them out. He could figure it out.
Yeah.
Is that what she's doing with her kids? Are they her little Jason Todds or Dick Grayson's, her babies, you know? That's
well, Topher definitely is. Before, the other two are too young.
No, I guess Ruby is playing by Topher's room and has all the Manhattan merchandise and stuff. Maybe
I'm hoping Topher's just her Dick Grayson. Let's.
Yes, please.
Because if not, I'm just gonna. Anyway, but yes, I think that was.
We only had two episodes left. He's like.
I know. I'm just like, can we get a season four? Like. Like, I just, the show is so good. Like, I can't, I'm sorry. Like, I just, I'm so attached to it now and I can't imagine it ending. But, so we have, is this the point where we get back to her? Oh yeah, so she. Is this the question? Okay, sorry, Carolyn had asked a question about like. Yeah, because like I know we go to no. I remember Carolyn specifically mentioning that the little kid was creepy because she was asking why she was a cop because of her parents, and then like does it pain hurt and all that stuff. So I know they had a really serious conversation between the two of them, which I thought was really really important, and I wanted to just note that. And if we don't go through it in detail, I thought that it was really important as a Angela as a Black woman who had been raised in Saigon. And this is little Vietnamese clone, American clone. I don't know. It's just such a weird, bizarre dynamic. They had this conversation. And they related to each other about the pain that they, the physical, the pain that they're feeling because of the memory that they had been given to them, either voluntarily or involuntarily by their ancestors.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, that was it. And it was disconcerting to watch because you don't think that you don't realize the trauma of certain sorts ages people. I mean, you don't, you don't realize how widespread it is. I mean, you see it in your own sense. It's like, you know, oh, I've been through this and that ages you, but you don't realize how widespread it is. And it makes you realize just how much of a problem it is. These are two people who came from the same sort of thing. And the kid was mostly creepy because the kid was just like so matter of fact. And it's like, why are you a cop if you know, if he doesn't worry about you? And it's like,
that felt like a kid question though, that not a creepy one. Like,
I think kids are just creepy in general.
Kids are creepy in general. I once had a kid recently tell me in with all seriousness, with the conviction of a priest, that the Teen Titans hated Disneyland because they fight crime and going to Disneyland wastes time when it comes to fighting crime.
Well, you know.
I can also only imagine Wendy's kids who are also like getting at their peak creepiness how as they get older. And I'm also enjoying, and this is a full compliment from me, that Wendy's kids are fucking fascinating. Naturally, kids are just weird. I don't think this is a clone thing. I think kids are just creepy. So,
no, I literally just pick up the phone and text what they say. And
I enjoy every tweet about them. Every tweet. It's so fascinating. I cannot wait for my own kids. Anyway, so yes, we have, now we're going to Adrian.
The most disappointing Adrian fight scene, including Doomsday Clock. The most disappointing.
Oh, my. Oh God.
Like, this was not Adrian fight. And like, I guess maybe it's a year of this, he's degraded into who knows what. No. But then this is not fight.
All that buildup, and you know what it came out to? A fart.
Yep.
It was a fart of a scene.
They're not like, worth it. Yeah. I get that they're not worth him strategizing around because he knows exactly. All right, so there was this scene, and I'm going to bring it back to Legion. It's probably like one of five times this episode. But there was a scene in the Legion where Brainiac 5 knows how the trial's, and he's representing himself, and he knows how the trial's going to go down. And I'm sure that there's some of this in their brains when they're doing it. And he's just basically like says, I did exactly this. This is exactly what I did. You're either going to find me guilty or innocent. This and I'm pretty sure I know. Him. Yeah.
He weaponized
the Infinite Man to take out the Time Trapper, and they're like, well, that's murder. And he's like, well,
he weaponized something else in that courtroom, I tell you.
Oh, stop. But at any rate, he knew how it was. I think he was off by one person, surprised him, but he knew he was going to get off, and he knew he shouldn't get off. And I feel like that's where Vite is right now, is that what's the point in arguing? I know how you're all going to vote.
Point of the pigs?
It was absurdity, maybe. The only thing I got out of this scene.
It's like political, right? Like, I don't know if you guys have this in your culture, but like, anytime someone farts or burps, like, you call them pig or puerco. Like, in Puerto Rican culture, like, it might be a Latino thing, or like, it has to be more than Latinos that do this. I don't know if, but like, it's an actually specific thing. Like, if someone farts or burps and doesn't say them, excuse me. You call them a pig. That's like when I saw that, I was like, is that Puerto Rican on staff? No, that's like a specific thing. Because I actually was like, is there a Puerto Rican writer on staff? Because like, I literally was like, is my mother the judge here? Because I literally was like, someone was like, oh, this asshole wants to fart
bring in the pigs. And I was like, it's such an overdramatic of my abuela, like, but that's calling me a
that's
pig.
Fascinating though, because you know, in with white people, I mean, it, honestly, somebody does that, you're just like, dude, and then you punch him in the nut, or at least you're like, ew, gross.
Yeah, maybe we'll see that next episode. That might be.
Don't suppress. Don't suppress. You hold it in, it makes you sick.
Listen, this is enough. a serious criticism.
This is getting out of control.
Cultural podcast. Oh, yeah. Serious cultural.
Philosophical. All right. So the only thing I'm trying to get at is I'm trying really hard to get the blood from the stone here is that he desperately wants these guys to show some free will. And they can't. And even the jury, I'm like, there's no way the jury doesn't have free will. How can they decide this case? And that's why the game warden is the only one who's different. So he brings in the pigs. It's still not him showing free will. He's still doing the game warden thing. So he really, I mean, I feel like this would be the breaking point where you're expecting them to suddenly show their humanity. And it's just not there. And he's so bored with it.
There was one that like winked at him though, like she was on his side,
playing a role.
Right, but that was to show you that she still is character.
I think that she was. That's when I was like, oh, this is really fascinating. And then when she winked, I was like, oh, never mind. There, this is a game. I think I made a note. Hold on, yeah. I said, what did I write? It was like is this all a game to make himself feel guilt over what he's done? But that's a different question of what you're asking, Wendy, is like, is this an experiment to see if they could feel something? Which is two different questions, because
they can't.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's both. Maybe I don't know. But he's crying at the end because maybe he failed, or maybe he's feeling guilt, or I don't know. But I do think that.
Is he feeling guilt, or is he like just?
I don't know. We don't know though. I don't know. We don't actually know his perspective at all, because this whole fucking every single scene has been in the past. We don't know anything. Yeah. And that's why I'm getting a little bit frustrated with this, because we have two episodes left. And this specific scene could have been two episodes ago. I'm no longer interested in Adrian Veidt when we have Will Reese. As soon as Will Reese got outed us or revealed us to justice, I got less interested in what was going on fucking on Europa or whatever the fuck moon he's on. Because if we're not tied into this current thing, whether he's her dad or whose dad or uncle or whatever, I just need this to tie back into, like, it's
bring it back.
Distracting. Yeah, it's now, like, I love him.
And that was for so much, that was a long time. There was a long time to, are they just doing it to remind you what Adrian did? I mean, is there some like clue that we're supposed to get out of this? Because it really was a long time for a fart joke. It was.
I almost wonder if it's just like the little artsy writer people just getting kind of in their head.
It's not. It's a Damon Lindelof thing, because this happened in The Leftovers, but you don't actually figure it out. You don't appreciate it. It's like one of those things you don't appreciate to the finale, and it's one of those frustrating things you have to deal with as a Damon Lindelof fan, because this is one of those things you really just won't deal. Like, if there will be a I honestly, the way the season has been written, that's why I'm not too overly frustrated by it, because I do think that the overall season is written where there will be payoff for the season and for that scene specifically. It's just I don't know if it's gonna be I don't even know if it's gonna be in the next episode. Like, that's where I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck's happening with this. I don't want to waste any more time on that, because I just can't.
I'm sorry. I just thought in my head, I was like, does the fart have anything to do with the island from Lost? Did we finally get an answer?
No, we're not going there. So we fade now to the statue of Adrian in the vivarium, and Angela's like done. And they're having, so she's listening to the speech that Chu is giving. And it feels like a BS speech. Like, there was like, it was just like her life history. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it was to let Angela go run around and do what she's going to do. I feel like that she just got everybody out of the way on purpose so that Angela could run down the hall and discover who her donor was.
Right.
And that donor.
Wait, no, this is before. This is because I remember.
Is there another Lady Chu? Oh, right. Oh, yeah, this is another.
We did another talk about Lady Chu. Something about Beyond being the clone from her mother. And I noticed Chu was serving squid, which is okay. That's cute.
It wasn't squid. It wasn't squid, though. It was octopus. There were maybe octopus.
Okay, all right. So
octopi.
It wasn't psychic squid.
Well, it's the same like, what do they call
it? Yeah, in the septipod family, yes. Or whatever that thing is, yeah.
Yeah, there was that, and then there's the Joe scene.
Joe scene. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. So, and you have the big giant eye again.
Oh yeah, Lori's with the white supremacists and Joaquin.
And he reveals his plan.
Yeah, and which is pretty basic. I mean, yeah, he wants to become blue. Ha ha ha, hardy har har, some little red humor there. But yeah. She literally just does not give a fuck. But like up until the point where he's like, I want to become blue, she just like, was like, oh shit. Like, I thought that was fascinating. But also, did you guys notice the Cyclops symbol was in the, drawn within the Dr. Manhattan symbol? The Cyclops eye behind her?
Oh, wait, I'm looking at it right now.
It's like drawn in within his symbol.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so they're my basically, goodness. Yeah, they've warped his symbol into a white supremacist symbol, which we've talked about before on the podcast, where they continue, white supremacists continue to use symbols that have nothing to do with them and warp it to fit their means.
Yeah.
Which I thought was clever.
So we had two comics bits referenced here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Tony, you caught the first one about her line about being tired.
Mm-hmm. No, I did. Wait, no.
Oh, sorry. All right, somebody check it.
No. Oh, no. Go ahead.
I pulled the tweet up when I had the picture. I was talking about Fire Emblem, but.
Okay.
I don't have it in front of me, but I just know it off. Like, he says, tired of this world, tired of these people, tired of being caught in the tangled of their lives.
Yeah, terrible. We'll post it on the thing. So, and then Lori, of course, here is talking about herself being tired. So the second panel was we gaze continually at the world, and it grows dull in our perceptions. Yet seen from another's vantage point, as if new, it may still take the breath away. And I thought this was interesting because we did see, you know, we were talking about how they're because John Osterman was white. Maybe they're looking at Manhattan as like a white supremacist symbol, which is ridiculous, especially now that we know that he's Jewish.
Yeah, I was gonna say they clearly established him as a Jewish man.
Now he's trying to see life from a completely different vantage point, to kind of make it feel fresh for him, I guess.
Honestly, I wonder if it's just, I mean, this is the pessimistic side of it. I wonder if it's just to raise less suspicion. Because a mixed race couple is looked at differently by some people than if
they're
both
black. Or he's just, that's true. Maybe she wanted to be what she thought she wanted. I don't know.
We'll find out. There's a lot of generations that of mixed couples that, like, even back before. Even way, because like the miscegenation laws were repealed back in like the 60s. Like that was actually in the 60s, 70s, there was a huge burst of mixed race relationships because of where people were like, you know, feeling love and so I don't know if that was, that specifically would have been a reason. I think maybe he thought he could have.
This would have been the 90s, right? This would have been in the 90s. Right.
But I was saying he would have fit into her, something that she would have, so maybe he would have fit into a view of what she would have loved. You know what
Here's
I'm saying?
My
like,
theory.
Making him look like what, you know.
He's like, let me find the sexiest looking person that I can look like.
I mean, that works too.
But I also don't want to get into weird, like, black fetishism either, because it gets into that weird. This is the same issue I had with when they were like revealing that the Excalibur was made after a fucking.
Yeah.
I was like, I get uncomfortable because there's also a fetish. Like, we also call this is also a callback to what racist Fred Trump said to Will Reeves in his episode last week when he was like, oh, but you, from what I heard of you fellas, you have plenty of meat on you to satisfy a woman or whatever, which is a racist stereotype of black men. But
I don't think that's really cool.
I just want to point out, like, they did specifically name the dick toy after Excalibur. Like, it's actually a real thing. Like black men do get fetishized very out of the ordinary. So it's a thing that, like, I don't want it to be like, he's just chosen because he's hot as fuck. It's because if he did, and that's the reason, then there's a whole different, deeper, weird, creepier reason for that. But I also think that it's more just.
That doesn't sound like she. It looks like from the previews of next week, she meets him when he's blue.
Yeah. No, I saw that and I was like, yes, I'm so excited. No, I was talking more like him protecting himself and like not wanting to stick out like a sore thumb and like choosing to be like, anyway, so that was just more about what I was trying. I think that was like,
It may be that like that this was a real guy and he was taking his place. Like maybe there was a real car accident and he became someone else. Mm-hmm. We don't know. We'll find out. We'll find out next week.
That's probably more likely.
So what's next?
So then we have they're still talking, right? Like the
hold on. We did lose Carolyn.
Yeah, she said that she had to go. She was dealing with some stuff, so we are on. It's just us three right now. So then we have. She had mentioned something. I just want to point out that she mentioned something that about micro in her speech. You know, talking about herself was about microfusion spacecraft, which is like I feel like it's the same thing that she got right on to the moon with. Because I fully believe that she's the reason why he's on the moon.
If he's even there, if and he's not like in a tank, with,
right?
Like,
if he's on
with,
the
like,
moon,
thoughts in his head.
But microfusion spacecraft sounds like some. Science techie garbage that she would have gotten into the moon.
Explain it.
Well, she did put those satellites up around Mars so that she could make the fake
phone calls
thing. Yeah. She did. I think she was looking for Dr. Manhattan, which is maybe another reason why we think that she's the dad. Like maybe she was looking for who she thought was her dad.
Yeah.
And so she invented all these things to go out and find her dad and then found out somehow that he was on Earth.
Yes, I think. People were speculating that he was that. I don't know if this is an end of the podcast sort of thing, but he was the reason. He's the thing that crashed at the end, or crashed.
Yeah, that's episode, another question that's open: is what crashed on the Clark Farm? We haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah,
but was it Manhattan? How we don't know when it took place. We don't know anything about it, so we can't really put anything around
that.
No,
I wasn't thinking it was Manhattan. I think most people are thinking it was Vite, not Manhattan. Manhattan wouldn't crash land anyway.
That's possible. It could have been Vite. But I feel like it's got something to do with the Millennium Clock. That I feel like the Millennium Clock is built on that site.
Right. On the site where the thing crashed, where I think Vite might have crashed down. Or he was escaping. Anyway, so then it's all, who the fuck knows? At this point, I don't know. I'm so confused.
We'll find out.
At two episodes left. So we have elephant blood. We have elephants, or one elephant in particular, tusks and all, which I thought was a very important detail because it's pretty rare to get a picture with a captive elephant without its tusks, unless it's in a zoo. What the hell is the elephant blood doing? Flushing the memories?
So let's talk about a couple of things. Well, first of all, we have to talk about the cultural significance of the elephants and Lady Chu. Lady Chu, historical Lady Chu, rode around on elephants and is typically almost always depicted as riding an elephant. So that is connected to her. But on top of that, you have...
Medically, I don't think that's like...
Yeah. The elephants never forget, and elephants are actually known for having really, really long, crisp, good memories. Like they can be apart from another elephant or from a person even for like 50 years, and immediately upon seeing them, it's like, you know, they remember them perfectly.
I that's what I think. I was just thinking, well, okay, elephants' brains are big, and you know, like the memory thing, so that would make sense that you'd use a large brain to filter. We've seen the memories, but also, of course, they must be storing her memories as well.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
The poor elephant.
Oh.
The poor elephant has all the memories.
You gotta deal with all this. Just one day, I don't know if they eat. But chill in the jungle, I guess. I don't know.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle.
And this is when she has the flashback to June.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God, this broke my heart, guys. Like,
pretty sad.
Everything from the beginning to the end, like, June to the rescue, like, my Clark Kent, my hero, like, from the beginning, like, she came and she was just like, immediately, like, this lady's been yelling at you the whole time, like, just like, was so supportive and listening and, like, just was like, she was just so in utter awe of her granddaughter and was so excited to be around her. I've been a fan of June since the beginning. Like, I'm a huge June fan. And everything about the scene where they were talking about what Angela wanted to do and, like, all of this stuff, everything. And, like, and then eventually when she said, you know, I know you guys probably have other points that you want to talk about the scene, but I want to say the one thing that really stuck out to me was saying June wanted to say that she wanted to take her back to Tulsa. And she was like, why? And she was like, it's where we're from. And the weight of that, it made the next scene more painful, but also it says something about, you know, like Black Americans are just, Black people aren't from Vietnam. We're just not. Like, so yeah. This little girl hearing that from her, you know, her grandmother is like, oh shit, like I could be somewhere where people who look like me are, where we're from. Holy shit, that's amazing. I don't know if she's saying holy shit in her head, but like to me, I'm like, oh my God. So I was just like, it was so like, it was just really, really sweet to me. And then of course, just stabbed me in the fucking chest. I was like,
well, I mean, I kind of felt like when you get that speech to Topher about how the world is not, you know, pretty colors, mm-hmm. and lollipops, you know that this is not going to go well. So yeah. I was just waiting to try and figure out like what was going to happen. But it, yeah, they
it
did.
A crime. Like, I'm glad it yeah. was a natural
mm-hmm.
illness thing.
And she,
but at least
also
if it was a crime, like she could blame it on something, right?
But she already had a crime in her. Like, there's she
yeah.
had, like,
but no, so it's almost worse, right? It's
yeah,
not
exactly,
like
yeah.
she could get revenge for the killing of her parents, but mm-hmm. this is just like
you can't do anything about
you
that.
You can't blame anybody yeah. for mm-hmm. it. Yeah,
it's also a very Pa Kent kind of passing. Like you're looking
yeah.
for mm-hmm. Superman hero.
Yeah,
it's that well, dealing with loss that is no one's fault, no matter how mm-hmm. strong you are, no matter how smart you are, that kind of thing.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And she had to deal with all that in this very short time frame too.
And that sets her expectations for the rest of her life until, mm-hmm. of course, she meets Cal Hatton.
Yeah.
Oh my God, guys. Anyway, so yeah, once we get to that point, I'm just anyway, so then we have, oh guys, so the one point that I wanted to make, when she's standing over June's body, and then we have this beautiful cutaway to June and Will kind of like dancing in black and white, and we see a focus on June's face, which I thought was really beautiful that they gave us that moment with her. Just of her, like, she's a hero. She tried to save this little girl. She saved her son from a really, what could have been a potentially really toxic, shitty childhood, raising him in that environment. Like, she was a hero. And then we have little Angela, and then the camera raised specifically up to this, behind her is this mural of Dr. Manhattan that was vandalized with, he has like these mm-hmm. horns drawn on him, and it says murderer on it. And I thought that was fascinating because it continues to this imagery of this tying Angela to Dr. Manhattan specifically, which I thought was fascinating because there's a whole population that finds him a murderer specifically, and there's other population that finds him to be a savior. And that imagery keeps happening throughout the episode.
But she's so jaded at this point. I'm wondering if he shows and she's like, whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, whatever. Well, you didn't save everybody. You didn't save my grandmother, but we'll see if they have that conversation.
Yeah. I'm honestly very curious about like when she finally knows who he is, like how that conversation goes, because what the fuck?
He was probably on Mars when her grandmother died. If she's supposed
guys,
to be my age. Yeah.
Guys, we all know what? He wasn't on Mars. He wasn't
no,
on Mars.
I mean, originally, 85, he was on Mars building
the
clock thing. So,
yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So, I'm like,
I
have to get
really mad. Everyone's like, he went to Mars at the end of the novel, yeah. but he didn't go to Mars. He went to another galaxy, damn it. Sorry.
Or did he? Really? We'll find out.
Yeah, honestly, who the fuck knows at this point?
Because remember, he makes that speech about he doesn't want to look at the stars anymore. So,
I know.
Because they're all dead.
He's a fucking emo. He's like an emo rocker. He's like, the stars are dead. Mm.
So
and
what?
Like,
so,
bangs it out.
So that I'm going to be fascinated about is what changed his mind. I mean, he's looking at the stars, thinking about all the stars. And yeah, I know he had that moment with Lori, but he was still really...
What if he fell
you know,
in love with Angela?
Is that it?
I'm sorry, but it's the shipper in me. It's the romantic in me that really wants to just be like, after like the fucking tachyon storm or whatever the fuck that was blocking his vision, He was like trying to get a gauge of what was going on. And we saw himself falling in love with another woman and her being this vigilante and him falling that cycle again where he's just like, and I just really want, I don't know. And it might be that, and it might be this super sappy thing. Like, I don't care if it's sappy.
But would she I go want for that the, to be the she reason. Did, obviously.
I don't care. Yeah, obviously.
So not her.
For me, personally, I want it to be like so convincing. Like, I just, I don't know. I think that like, he was so fascinated by her that I want him to be pulled. Not just like, oh, that's the only reason why I came back, but I wanted that to be like one of the reasons why he was fascinated enough to like come back. Like, I think that
sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Okay, because there was like an interview with, I think it was with Damon Lynn. I can't say his name, but the creator,
Damon Lindelof, yeah,
showrunner. But they basically do say that that's kind of what. At least imply. I mean, they say it, but you know, I mean, mm-hmm. never take any of this stuff literally.
Right, I know.
At this point. So, they do basically, it makes it sound like they needed a reason to have Manhattan in the story. And so they say, or at least attached him to Angela in a way, because it is her story.
Yes, I want more. So. I want more. I wanted to, like, I wanted to be hard for him to win her, right?
Well, I don't think it's going to be purely romantic where it's like, oh, he's. Like, oh, it's like, I do think that, like, but, like, it, canonically, that guy, the guy has been, he keeps attaching himself to and falling in love with women. Like, it's not out of the ordinary. It's not out of character for him. But I do obviously think that, like, that there's obviously going to be more to the story than just love. Like, this is an Interstellar or a Disney movie. Like, I can say that. But, like, I do think that there's more to it. But I do love the idea that he just was so beyond everything. That this guy, this figure was so out of everything. He was whatever, and then he just saw her and was like, "All right, I'll check it out." You know, I don't know. I think that's something about that makes me really, I don't know. I like it.
He deserves easy after all this. He deserves a nice little cheesy romance.
I just kind of like it. I know it's not gonna happen, but I just really am enjoying it right now.
So the globe. What is the point of having the globe? What is it's there for a reason? Is it there for? Did she make this whole thing to be Manhattan's home, and like now he can go hear all the prayers or something? Like, what is the point of having that big dark room that reminded me of the Upside Down from Stranger Things and the globe that's like Cerebro? What is the point of that?
I want to say that if the Lady Ju's plan is to like communicate with Manhattan and like bring him forth, and like maybe she wants to just, maybe it's just a holding device for all the prayers in quote unquote prayers that, and then they're supposed to be, and that's like the idealist thing that they just, but I honestly have no idea why.
Was it there to make her feel guilty?
No, absolutely not.
To make herself feel guilty for that?
No, I don't think that that's for Angela specifically. I think that it's pretty probably logically just data mining people. I mean, companies do it now. Like, just data mine people, and like, they use that against, they use that to advertise to them later. And that could be simply just what Lady Truth's company is doing is is retargeting to them. As a marketing person, if I had that information, you know how much money I can make off of those people? You know how evil that is? But that's, I could make $500 million off of just the three testimonies that I heard based on the targeting that I just heard, because those are specific things that people need. You can easily make so much marketing. Oh, this is why Facebook keeps going. It keeps getting in front of Congress because it's actually evil and really problematic. The amount of information that people put out on the internet, but also then people use. So I think honestly that's just a Watchmen's embodiment of that, and maybe it could be more, but that's what I think it is.
I mean, that's the other thing that I'm wondering is, and this is my new crack theory, if Lori knew that True was listening and she went into the confessional to act like, to pretend, because she says very clearly, but sometimes it's fun to pretend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it there to make her think that, you know, Lori doesn't know, and then she's, I don't know, but we'll see.
There has
to be that brick thrown up in the air coming down.
It makes more sense than if, like, Lori was being a dumbass this whole episode. That makes sense if she just was purposely getting trapped in there in Webb, if this is something that she's been laying this out from the start, with that recording and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it could be her laying a trap. Yeah. I hope so, because it's not stupid.
I want the payoff. Yeah, I do want the payoff.
Yeah, I don't want her to be stupid. She's not stupid. I think maybe she just laid herself a trap, and or she put herself in their trap, and then hopefully Wade pops up again.
Oh yeah, he's either gonna be at a. I hope he's at Angela's house, and I think she.
I know, me too. But I don't know if he's. But I know. Okay, well, let's talk about the trailer because the trailer looks dope as fuck. We have a few minutes left, so we have like not a few minutes.
Wait, we have a few scenes left. Yeah, so Chu comes in and confronts her in the weird globe room.
Yeah,
and then she's like, "I have to protect my baby." So she's got to get past Pirate Jenny and Red Scare.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Before we do that, I do want to note that Chu mentions that Will is the one who told her about the Seven Cavaliers.
Yes. I wrote this down. I said, "When did Will find out Cal was Manhattan?" He knows. He knows.
Yeah, what is he knows way too much, and I'm
he knows too much.
I don't know why.
He's been following her all these years.
Did he try to find June and then he stumbled on Angela when he tried to find June and she found out she died in Saigon? Was she his next of kin? Was this the domino? Was this the first domino?
Well, he opened the theater in New York. If you read the Wikipedia, he opened a theater in New York that showed
that was in 2015 when he started showing
2017
2017. But I'm talking like when he found out about Angela, what if she was his next June and him never spoke again, maybe, but what if he somehow still kept tabs on June and found out that she died in Saigon when she tried to pick up Angela, and that's how he found out about his granddaughter. He must have not known either. And that's how he started keeping tabs on Angela, and that's how he found out about Manhattan. That's how
he knew the whole time and he stayed away.
Yeah, no, I think that's what I'm saying. I think he's been keeping tabs on Angela from a very, very young age and has kept away from her because why not? But he's also he knows what Manhattan is. And I think he's also known, but I don't know if he've ever told. That's where I'm like, I don't know if he told.
It may be that he brought a piece of the puzzle, that he brought the Cyclops piece of the puzzle, and then Lady Chu put the rest of it together.
Yeah, but I hope that and this is just a hope, I guess, that he didn't tell Lady Chu who Cal was, but that's a very thin hope.
I still don't think, y'all were saying that Cal was just set up to get Angela to crush his skull and pull him out.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I still feel like that's a weird to not let Cal in if you know he's Manhattan.
Yeah,
not have him under your control. You're direct.
But would she have hit him? Now that I'm thinking about it, would she have hit him if Lady Chu had never said anything about?
Did she need to say anything?
Needed to push her. This all the countdown was there for pressure. I think this is all about. This is all leading up to putting pressure on Angela to go home and break out.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling that she's the only one who can get him out.
No, I'm concerned. Okay. We'll talk about the trailer because now I'm very concerned about the trailer because I really want to get to it. I'm just concerned because I already know. I feel like what's gonna it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. But I the whole Angela Kelsey in the kitchen was incredibly intense. It was very gross. It was terrifying. And we all knew it was coming. I did not know that she was going to beat the shit out of him in the head.
Yeah. There was a bunch of weird background noises going on.
Well, the cavalry's outside.
Yeah. I don't know if it's when the kids I was waking up or what.
Oh my gosh, the poor kids.
I know. I know the kids are going to end up being important to this. And I don't want to even think about how they're going to be important to this. But I do love the reflection of him in her eyes as she takes out the the inhibitor or whatever it was out of his brain. That was this fascinating thing. But the trailer, I just need to say something. I really don't want to see a bunch of white supremacists murder my favorite character who was reborn as a black man. I just have to say that. Don't want to see this. But the trailer is making it seem like, you know, the typical Manhattan shit. This is going to happen. What is happening is going to happen. And I had to just prepare for that. But
what does that mean? Destroy. What does that mean, right?
Exactly. Adrian Veidt destroyed Manhattan, too. He tried to destroy Manhattan. The intrinsic. Everything has tried to destroy John Osterman, and he keeps coming back. So what I also, I think what I most want to see is how John Osterman and Cal Abar, if he exists, how do those two identities exist, first of all? But also I really, really want to see how they fall in love and how they meet. We see the trailer and like he picks up the mask and he goes into this bar and sees her and talks to her. What makes him?
He hands her a cold beer.
Yes.
And like that's Janie, how his first one, yeah, like Janie won him over with the cold beer. That was his, that strong memory for him was her handing him the cold beer. And he hands Angela a cold beer. Different color,
It was that was the first time I actually seen the trailer was today because I didn't actually see it last night. But
you're in awe. You're like, oh my!
I was literally, my mind was so blown. I was like, holy shit! They made Dr. Manhattan a black man. What the fuck? I can't get over this. Like his reaction. Oh my god! Black Manta, aka like I just can't like. He's the most beautiful. I'm saying he because I cannot pronounce his name. I'm so sorry. I'm so bad at pronouncing names, and I'm not even gonna try. But he is so beautiful, and he is like he was so good in Aquaman as a villain. David as David Hyde, Black Manta, and like they just keep pulling all these amazing DCs. Like yeah, we'll just keep plugging Jeremy Irons as Alfred Pennyworth, and then we have. You know, he was playing, shit, I'm so bad at names, but whatever. Anyway, it's fine. Guys, I'm excited about this, but I'm also fucking nervous.
Right. So what the exact line is I just told you, you can't save me and you're going to try to anyway. And what save me means is something up in the air. Like, so I think that we don't know what save means. Like, he may not die. Maybe he has to leave. Maybe, you know, he's depart. Who knows what save means? But, yeah, whatever it is, he's seen it. And maybe this was it. Maybe it's like he knows when he's going to die. And this is how he wants to spend the rest of his days. What's with her?
Let's be positive. Wade's going to save him, okay?
I'm feeling a lot of Jesus allegories here. It's the second coming. We have him essentially, quote unquote, dying, and then being reborn as another man. We have the disputed identities, the disputed, you know, things of his identity, like, oh, was Jesus black? Was Jesus white? Was Jesus, it doesn't matter, you know, was Jesus Hebrew? Jesus, you know, we have that. We have a lot of, he was obviously, Jesus could turn water into wine. He could do lots of things that humans could not. This is another thing that Manhattan could do. There's a lot of Jesus allegories here. There's Superman allegories too, but I'm seeing
Superman
where Jesus
is a Moses allegory while we're here.
Yes.
Well, remember, you had Will Reeves who came first, who was very much a Moses allegory, and Moses precedes Jesus, who then comes later. So, yeah, we've got that all going on. There's all kinds of biblical stuff.
And I think that that's like super important because specifically Dr. Manhattan is the only superpower being that has ever been in Watchmen lore, correct? So we have that being that like, is
wait what
right Watchmen
oh the fact that he has the Superman comic
he's the only superpower being in Watchmen comics or in the Watchmen lore
you mean as a comic book character you mean Dr. Manhattan is the only superpower being Dr. Manhattan is the only actual superpowers
depends on how you want to classify the psychics
Right.
I don't classify that as superpower beings because they weren't classified as super. Like psychics
Brainy's
are one thing.
Brainy's gonna be really sad.
I'm sorry, but I don't classify it as superpowers. I'm sorry. Those are just natural. Like let mortals have a something, okay? But I don't classify that as like mortals can have something. Like Captain America is not a superpower human being. Like he was medically enhanced, but he was a mortal that could do extra shit. To his extreme advance with extra shit. That does not mean he's superpower. He's not on Manhattan's level. Let us mortals have something. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Manhattan is on a different level.
He's on a different level. He's very alpha and omega, like molecule. Like he just can do things that we cannot. So I think that it's interesting to know that there are parallels with him, the rebirth, and then the fact that he has to die essentially, and also the parallel of Adrian's play where Manhattan comes down. On what looks like a crucifix anyway. So we have continuous, like, I think that was just like a foreshadowing of a more Jesus.
And there's a lot of that in the comic too.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah. So he's, yeah.
I was gonna do the line from the trailer that I like. Because he's like, I don't experience the concept of before.
I'm so excited to see him play. Yeah, like, I'm so excited to see, like, how they really do it. Obviously, they had to do this specific in this specific way so that they could continue having the character of Manhattan in their, you know, in the story. But I also think it's a beautiful, brilliant way to bring him into our present time, but also have the exact same character, because now we have extra complications. Now we have Lori, who has been in a relationship with this man and who broke up with, who cheated on him, I guess, essentially. And we have, you know, other people who have connected to them, but like, he's the reason most of the world think that he was the cause behind this cancer. Like, there's just so many things that, like, he's not just like a character that could be isolated to our storyline. He's much bigger than that.
Didn't they have a big thing to expose that the cancer wasn't?
Yes, there was a study. Yeah. There was a study, but there's also like studies that marijuana isn't a gateway drug, and people still, there's a GOP. Yeah. That's still, mm-hmm. So like, studies can, there's science. There's also science that says that climate change is a real thing, and people still dispute it. So like, I'm talking about this in terms of reality. People can say that, they can think that like, he doesn't, can know that he doesn't cause cancer. But
they'll say it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he can live on, I don't think he can go back to the house and live on the, in the suburban America with kids and Angela. But some of the things that we thought were going to happen, maybe were worse. We thought everyone was just going to be dead. So maybe this is better. But yeah, I think we have to figure out what's going to happen with Dr. Manhattan. I don't think it, so. One of the things we talked about in the group chat earlier today was about, you know, what happens to Keen when he gets the power. Now, I'm going to assume, because this is the, I've seen this story play a couple of times, and obviously this is my second Legion reference, is the post-Zero Hour Computo story. Computo is a, let's just say Ultron, if you don't know. I mean, I'm assuming you've all seen Avengers. It's kind of like Brainiac. This was came before Ultron, but it was Brainiac 5's Ultron. He was, you know, angry and violent, just like Ultron. And, the way, one of the times that he saved, Computo was he realized that what he actually needed was to become more enlightened and let him have all the knowledge that he wants. He wanted all this knowledge that they were trying to keep from him because he was just eating knowledge and learning and becoming so much more powerful. And Brainiac 5 realized that if you let him get to a certain point, he'll understand the world, and then all of violence and all of the negative emotions are kind of pointless. And so he does, and that's what happens. And that's what I'm thinking is going to happen with Keen, is that if Keen gets the Manhattan powers, suddenly he'll see the world like Manhattan, and all of his old, you know, thoughts will just be pointless. But we'll see. I would also be really sad if that happens, though.
Like, I mean, he's like a racist. I don't know. He can lose his own thoughts and beliefs.
I think that,
Okay. But yeah, like, I brought up in the group chat that, to me, it doesn't, I mean, it, like, it just really just might be hubris, because otherwise I don't understand what he's thinking he could do with, like, because once you get that kind of power, you get that kind of context for existence, you're like, why should I care? But I mean, maybe I get that in universe they don't have that kind. They don't maybe know to the degree that Manhattan was feeling pointless because he could see everything and knew everything. Like, so I mean, that it might just be that in hubris that he thinks he can do it. But I'm guessing, like, once you get that kind of power, you're gonna be like, okay, I don't care.
No real mess with you. It's just such a toxic thing, right? Yeah. You know, it's like that somehow the powerful are supposed to everyone's supposed to be afraid and cower. And
also, I think that there's, they don't, I don't think he, yeah, I don't think he realizes the extent of what that, but also I don't know if this is going to be exactly the, if they're using, if they're specifically using him to create another, to fuse Joe with Matt, it's not going to be the exact same process anyway. So you could have an entirely different process.
Too, right?
Yeah, it's the same. Like, you could have a whole, you could have a whole different, like, I'm talking about chemically, like the experience. John was, Manhattan was created because John got caught in an intrinsic chamber with a watch. They're trying to combine, they're literally trying to kidnap Dr. Manhattan and then fuse him, I guess, with, or whatever the fuck, with another person. So, like, they're doing it on purpose. So I think, like, whatever they end up doing, it's not going to end up being the same. So even if they do are successful, which I, God, I hope not. But
who's
if they
the
are
scientist
successful,
behind all this? Who's coming up with all this? That's the other thing. So is it the wife? I mean, like, somebody came up with the Cyclops back way back in the day, right? With how to do that. So there must have been some kind of mad scientist behind that. Now there's a mad scientist behind this. And I it could be that Veidt fed them a plan that was malarkey and they're just going to destroy themselves. Or maybe we put all the supremacists go to another planet. I mean, you know, that I wouldn't put it past him that, like, the whole thing was BS. And, you know, but
that wouldn't be, that would not be off brand for a Damon Lindelof show. That's for sure. I will not be surprised.
But there's somebody's feeding them the science. Like, I don't think Keane came up with the science on this one.
Oh, no,
I don't think
so
either.
That, the plan was just to make him president.
Well, Adrian, right? Yeah. Well, didn't you say that, like, maybe the last 2 hours of the film was?
Yeah. What's on the last 2 hours of the tape? And was it was it leaked to them on purpose?
I don't think it was leaked, but he said specifically it was hard for him to get back footage.
Oh, yeah, since you could totally make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, you could have his access. I don't think regular people could, but yeah. I digress. I will say that, like, I do think that next episode's going to really test where my love for this show, because I just have, I have expectations that I don't know. I just don't want. I don't know.
Good, listen. This is what you're worried about. What are you worried about happening?
I'm worried about seeing a bunch of white supremacists murder off the black Dr. Manhattan. I don't want to see that shit on TV. I'm sorry. I just don't want to see that shit. And I know. I feel like
even
there's
Adrian couldn't do it. Even Adrian couldn't murder.
I know
him.
He couldn't. He couldn't. But he's also not around now. I'm just, like, worried about these, like, people who are, like, I don't know. I'm just worried. But we'll see. I wasn't also expecting them to actually confirm this bonkers batshit theory that Catwoman's in Dr. Manhattan. So I have no idea what to expect anymore. Every week my expectations keep changing because they keep doing weird shit. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to expect anymore. So now I'm going to have a new worry. I have a new worry now that I didn't have last week.
My worry is that it's going to be as simple as he just fell in love and that she's going to be swooped, reaped off her feet. I need her to make it hard.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. But I think he really, as complicated as he is, I think it makes sense that he wants to keep things simple and he would fall in love with a woman. That's on par for him. But Angela's a more complicated woman.
But
I think it's Angela. It's really Angela. I don't think there's ever going to be an happy ending because she was doing it to protect him. I don't know. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Back
like
to
that.
Watchmen, the graphic novel, there's this scene where he's talking about seeing it through, you know, somebody's fresh perspective. And you get the feeling that that's what he saw in Laurie at 16 years old. Is that, oh, here's a child. Like, that's what you talk about is that, like, when you get older, you have children so that you can see the world through their eyes, right? And you know, this is all perverted. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, is that he's addicted to finding people like Doctor Who, right? Doctor Who's ancient and he sees the world through these young people that he takes on trips and he's really kind of living, you know, he's still feeling his humanity by hanging out with people who are seeing things for the first time. You know, that's kind of the feel that. So now he just keeps taking girlfriends, like Doctor Who has companions.
I mean, I guess, like, if you're like a nigh immortal being, I mean, You might as well.
Things get boring. Are
Hopefully
you
they
saying
all
the same thing
Yeah,
over
but
forever?
I mean, what else are you gonna, what else are you supposed to do when you live forever? Like, you can't either choose A to be alone or B, you're just gonna have to get used to loss. Like,
Well,
you know?
he may not be living forever, depending on how next episode
Oh, no,
goes.
no, he'll
But
be
that's the
fine.
thing, like,
Wade and Petey will
but
save him.
you also said, like, what can kill Dr. Manhattan? What can kill him? A bunch of rednecks in the backwoods of Tulsa? I don't know. Well,
they would just need to somehow. Is it possible to separate him from his powers? I don't think so. I think he is his powers. I
I
don't
think
think
he's prob they're
he
probably
actually
gonna end up
did.
fusing him. They're probably gonna try to end up fusing him with another person, like,
So
or
is Cal's body a vessel for Dr. Manhattan? And is that what Joe's going to become, a vessel for Dr.
That's what
Manhattan?
I'm thinking. Yeah.
And Angela's just going to have to bash his head in again? That would be bad, but still.
I think
So,
that I think he'll try to become another vessel, like a body to hold. But that would mean, like, what? Is he like just energy to transfer from body to body? That's so weird. I don't know. But I think that I have a feeling that that's probably what's going to happen, and that they're going to be like, oh, he just needs to become the new human blood vessel for Dr. Manhattan.
it
But
would be interesting if it then goes, like, after Keen, it goes to Angela.
what if she becomes a new Dr.
Then the
Manhattan
killer
after
will
all
press.
this?
Oh,
It's
I
like
don't
an
know.
amalgamated person.
I don't
That
love
could
it
be
in theory because
I could see it
I don't like
happening, though.
depersonalizing. Like, I don't think it's the right word. It's not depersonalizing, but like, it's. I prefer for her to stay Angela. I don't know, like just Angela, not me. Even
I
though I guess
fully
I know
get
she.
that. I get that. But if she comes to do the new Manhattan, and then she's like, it's a personality thing, and then she, like, her and, Lori have to work out some things. I get it. That could be season two.
Trying
Listen,
to
I'm
get
always gonna be on my
the
OT3 shit.
Well,
Anyway, so no, I totally get that though. I mean, honestly, the fact that we have like seven different ways the show could end is just a testament to like how what the show is. Like, I don't know. I really don't know. There are so many different ways that the next two episodes could go in the direction they can go in. And the fact that we have next season, no, or next Sunday's episode is going to be like the Watch or the Dr. Manhattan intro episode, or like basically the backstory. And that's the
Yeah.
fucking beginning of Crisis. So like, we just have a lot going on next
Oh
Sunday.
my, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of 80s comics coming to life next Sunday, y'all. But I'm actually really excited to just see like where this all goes. Like, we do have a lot of threads. I'm glad that they confirmed that Night Owl's in jail, because I don't know if we can deal with another character being thrown into this mix.
The final episode is Night Owl just
Yeah.
in. Everybody else
Right.
Yeah, destroyed, and he's just like, oh, I missed it.
So yeah, but I do. I've seen that people are expecting that, like, maybe there'd be a second season after this. Damon Lindelof specifically said this. He wrote this episode or this season from beginning to end as a bottle episode or bottle season, that this will be encapsulated. But there is also always potential for a second season if we ever wanted one.
Something
So
totally
we
different.
know that this season, the story will be wrapped up.
Yeah, in two
Somehow, by
episodes.
nine, allegedly.
Somehow. Prepare to be shocked and surprised.
Prepared to be confused.
Oh, yeah.
I've
Oh,
watched
yeah.
many a shows. I've been a fan of this man for a long time. I already know. But no, yeah. So I have nothing else left to say, but like, I just very excited for the next episode. I'm really, really excited for the next episode where we get to see Angela and Cal's, like, they're really thing. And I've always thought that her name, Angela, as a, basically a variation of Angel, is
Yeah.
always interesting. So I'm interested to see how they he comes from the heavens and like, blah, blah, whatever. We'll see how they go. I'm pro Angela Cal OT3 with Lori. I'm all about that. You know that Vanessa's all about that shipping life. So come to me if you have any time, anything you need to say about that. If you just want to gush, let me know.
I'm pro those
Tony, you have a closing thought?
Honestly, I don't know. I just I'm worried about Beyond. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because he's just so nice, and she's like a little kid, and I'm like, oh no, I hope no awful.
All the kids. Stuff. All the kids.
Yeah. They're also
so
cute.
She might be the you know, the kind of thing that True doesn't suspect that can be the fly in her ointment.
Yeah.
We will see. All right.
Oh wait, I also hope Wade and Petey save everyone. I don't know.
Yeah. I hope they're alive and they're healthy and they're well. Yeah, Lupin is definitely Petey. I think we all know this at this point.
We gotta see Lupin.
Lupin's gonna show up again.
He's gonna save the day. He's gonna save Lori.
Yes. Yeah, I need Lupin to go save Lori. And we gotta find out what's away. There's all these threads that are coming together, and there's just so much. We'll see what happens. I still want to know what was in the Christmas presents.
Now I want to know even more.
Well, I mean, it's probably a watch, right? Like,
yeah,
it's a big box though. It was a large. Maybe it was a large.
Maybe it's a contingency plan. Watch.
Yeah, it's
a plot
it's
device.
Whatever the surprise. That Christmas present is the, you know, saves everybody.
Yeah, it's Deus Ex Machina.
All right. So if you would like to contact Watchmen Podcast, you can email us at watchmentvpodcast@gmail.com. You can post a comment on our website, watchmenpodcast.com. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can call us at 918-200-9103. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at Watchmen Podcast. On Twitter, you can follow us at Watchmen Talk. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. We always love it when you give us ratings and write reviews. Watchmen Podcast is part of the DC TV Podcast Network. So if you are interested in other DC shows, you can check out Batwoman Podcast, Black Lightning Podcast, DC TV Classics, DC's Legends of Tomorrow Podcast, iZombie Radio, Krypton Podcast, Stargirl Podcast, Supergirl Radio, Swamp Thing Radio, The Flash Podcast. And you can subscribe to DC TV Podcast on Apple Podcasts and follow DC TV Podcast on Twitter and like DC TV Podcast on Facebook. Until next time, tick tock. TikTok.